Well, hey, everybody, it's so good to see you. It's Easter, and I am so glad to be with all of you as we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. And I just want to welcome everybody from our other campuses and satellites and everybody that's watching online. What a privilege it is to be gathered with all of you and to open up the scriptures and celebrate. Now, here we are. Celebrating Easter, and you look great. I see a lot of new Easter dresses and new shirts, and so this is fantastic. And let's start with a question, shall we? Here's the question. Why is Easter good news? I mean, it was good news for Jesus, for sure. I mean, he was dead, and then he was alive. So it's definitely good news for Easter, but why is Easter good news for you? I mean, if somebody was to pull you aside and say, hey, why is Easter good news for you? I mean, what would you say? Maybe you'd say something like, well, you know, Easter represents hope, and that's definitely true. Or maybe you'd say something like, you know, well, Easter, it's all about heaven and life after death, and that is definitely true. But if your answer is that Easter is about heaven, I would just say to you, you're thinking too small. See, what I want to say to you is that Easter is good news. It is incredible news. It is the best news because it is good news for your past, it's good news for your present, and it's good news for your future. So what we're going to do today is we're going to spend a little bit of time in a chapter of the scriptures that is like one of the most important passages on the resurrection of Jesus and why it's so important for all of us. And so this chapter, it comes from a letter called 1 Corinthians, and it was a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to believers living in a first century Roman city called Corinth. So let me show you a map, just kind of give you an idea where this place was at. You're looking at the Mediterranean Ocean. The little dot there for Corinth is in Greece. This city was kind of dead center between the northern part of Greece and the southern part of Greece on this little strip of land that was called an isthmus. And that's just a really fun word to say, isthmus. And so that's where Corinth was. It was a big, important, wealthy city. And the Apostle Paul, he spent considerable time there, investing in there because he was trying to grow a community of Jesus followers, a church here in that city of Corinth. And a couple years ago, I had the privilege of traveling to the ruins of ancient Corinth, and I just want to show you a picture. And the reason I'm showing you this picture of the ruins of the Temple of Apollo is because I actually took that picture, okay? And I'm not a very good photographer, but I'm looking at that and I'm going, it's not bad, right? It's not a bad picture. Okay, that's not why I'm showing you the picture. The reason I'm showing you the picture is just to remind you, Corinth was a real city. Paul was a real guy, and he's writing a letter to actual people who put their faith in Jesus and believed that he had been raised from the dead. And this is significant because it's only 20 years after Jesus was raised from the dead. So we're going to spend a little bit of time in this letter. And if you're new to the Bible, 1 Corinthians, that goes with the city of Corinth. You see how it works? See, that's how it works. And so we're going to be in chapter 15. It's just a three-part message today. Easter is good news for your past, it's good news for your present, and it's good news for your future. So let's jump in. You can follow along, or we'll have the verses up on the screen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, part one is your past. Now, Paul, in his writings that we have in the New Testament, and really all the biblical writers, there's a premise that they have about your past. And the premise is this: your past is a problem. Yeah, your past is a problem because, well, you've done things that are wrong. You've messed up. You've failed. And because of this, you're in trouble with God, in a sense. Like, your relationship with God is broken. So you have messed up, and it's not just you, it's also me. In fact, they made a video about me. You done messed up, A.A. Ron, okay? So mine's all out there on the internet. But it's true for me, and it's true for you. Your past is a problem. And this premise is part of Paul's writing and something in particular that he calls the gospel message. And as he begins this section of his letter, he's going to talk about the resurrection, but he starts with reminding these people what the gospel is all about and why it's so important. So verse 1 of chapter 15. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. Paul says very clearly, it's by this gospel that you are saved. In other words, your past is a problem, but the gospel can fix that problem. Now, specifically, what does Paul mean by this word gospel? It's a word that just means good news. That's what it means in the original language. But what is he exactly talking about? Well, he goes on. For what I received, I passed on to you. That's significant. Paul's going, I didn't make this up. I received this message, and I'm passing it on to you. I'm passing it on as of first importance that Christ died for your sins, according to the scripture, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. Paul says there are three components to this good news message. One is that Jesus, he actually died. And he died for your sins, meaning he took on all the wrong things that you've done, all the guilt that you have. He took your past, he put it on himself, and he died in your place. Paul said this actually happened, and it's such an important component of the gospel. Secondly, he was buried. Get this, Jesus was so dead that they buried him. Jesus actually died. And then thirdly, that he was raised from the dead. And I think this is important. For Paul, the resurrection, it's not a bonus to the gospel. It's not a bonus to the cross. The resurrection is a core component of what the gospel actually is. And we'll talk about why this is throughout the message. So Paul, he gives this reminder of the gospel, and then he starts telling people, reminding people of how Jesus appeared after he was resurrected from the dead. So this is now verse 5. And that he appeared to Cephas, that is another name that Peter used. So this is one of Jesus' disciples. He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are living. So why does Paul bring this up? He talks about all these different people that Jesus appeared to. Why is this important? Here's why. First century people were just as skeptical about a resurrection as 21st century people. Yeah, you might think, okay, these are ancient people, you know. They're probably more gullible. Honestly, they're probably dumber than us. And so when Paul shows up and he goes, yeah, Jesus, I mean, he was dead and then boom, he's raised back to life. People are just like, wow, yeah, sure, absolutely, sure. No. First century people were just as skeptical as you are about this idea. Yeah, he died and then he raised from the dead. Which is why Paul just goes, look, some of these people, go ask them. I mean, he lists the name and it's like, go ask them. Because keep this in mind. He wrote this letter, 1 Corinthians, about 55 AD. Jesus was crucified and resurrected in 33 AD. That's only 20 or 25 years later. In other words, many of these eyewitnesses were still living. And so Paul goes, yeah, I understand that you're skeptical. Go ask these guys. Because you could talk to these people and they would say, yes, I saw it. With my own eyes, I saw him on a cross. I saw them pierce his side with a spear. He was dead. And then I saw him alive. And he talked to me. I touched him. We ate breakfast together. You could go and talk to these people. It was confirmation that Jesus actually, it was evidence that he was actually raised from the dead. And this was really important to Paul. It was really important to Paul because he wants us to understand, he wants these readers of his letter to understand, if you don't have the resurrection, you've got nothing. No resurrection, no Christian faith. And he's very honest about this, which I really appreciate. He says, and if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. He just goes, look, if Jesus really didn't raise from the dead, I'm wasting my time. Your faith is pointless. And this seems like a little much, doesn't it? Because there's no doubt, historically speaking, that Jesus was a real person. He actually lived. And there's no doubt, historically speaking, I'm talking about evidence that we have, that Jesus really was crucified. These things happened. You really can't argue it. We have Jesus' teaching recorded for us. We have some of the miracles that he did recorded for us. So Paul, how can you say that just because he didn't raise from the dead, that the whole thing is off and the whole thing is pointless? That seems a little excessive. Well, Paul tells us, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins." See, there it is. No resurrection, you are still in your sins. Your past is still a problem. Quite frankly, you still stand guilty before the righteous judge of the universe, the Creator God. Your past is still a problem. Which brings me to something I participated in as a little kid growing up in church. Wednesday nights, it's called Awana. Anybody ever do Awana? Okay, there's a couple of you, yeah. And others of you who grew up in church, you probably did something similar. And if you didn't grow up in church, this would be an opportunity for you to go, wow, these people are weird. There's some weird stuff going on. Okay, so Wednesday nights, growing up as a little kid, went to this thing called Awana. There were games, there were competitions, there were crafts. But really the main deal was this right here. There was a red fabric vest. Anybody ever wear one of these? Yes, for sure. And the thing about this vest is you could get these little plastic jewels that you could then pin on your vest. And they were really cool, and I will tell you right now, I was highly motivated to get the jewels. I was all about the plastic jewels. And how did you get these plastic jewels? Well, you memorized Bible verses. And so I memorized a whole bunch of verses. And what's interesting is so many of those verses are still in my head. So yes, memorizing verses as a kid, we still do it in our children's ministry. It's really valuable. But let me share with you one of the verses that I learned as probably second, third grader. It goes like this: believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. It's just very simple. Put your trust in Jesus and what he did on the cross, and your sins are going to be forgiven. You're going to be restored to a friendship with God. You will spend forever with God. Believe in Jesus, and you will be saved. The Bible says it. I memorized it. But here's the question. How do you know it's actually true? I mean, how do you know that it actually works? Let me take it a step further. If I were to ask you, straight up, are you forgiven? Are you good with God? And is he good with you? Are you going to spend forever with God? How would you answer those questions? Would you say, I think so. Man, I really hope so. And I just want to say, that's not good enough. I mean, for me. I don't want to think so. I don't want to hope so. I want to know so. I mean, I want to be secure in that. And I bet you do as well. And what I want to tell you is that you can be. You can be so sure. It's not, I hope so, I think so. You can say, I know so. And how can that be? The answer is the resurrection. You see, the resurrection of Christ, the fact that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead, is the evidence that God said, I accept your payment. Jesus took all of your guilt on himself, paid for it with his death. God raises him from the death, which is a way of saying sacrifice accepted. See, I can illustrate this with just two pictures. We got the cross and we got the empty tomb. And what I'm trying to say to you is this. This confirms this. The empty tomb confirms that the cross actually worked. It's God's way of saying accepted. See, Easter is good news. Easter is good news from your past because the empty tomb tells us that your past, you can know that your past is forgiven. If, back to that verse I memorized as a kid, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. If you put your trust in Jesus, if you believe in him, if you express belief in him, then you can be forgiven of your past. So, I mean, have you put your trust in Jesus? Have you expressed belief in Jesus. There's a story that we watched, story video, during our worship time. Shirley, I mean, what an amazing story. Shirley, thank you for sharing your story with us. But there was a moment where she described, she's in church, everybody's singing, it's that song, "You're a Good, Good Father," and she says she prayed to be saved. Have you ever done that? And what does that look like? I think it's just a simple prayer that involves three parts. First, to just come to God and go, yeah, my past is a problem. In the words of the Bible, I am a sinner. I know I'm guilty. That's the first part. Second is just to express belief. I believe in Jesus. I believe that he died for me. And then third, to just say, God, save me. God, rescue me. God, forgive me. It's a prayer to be saved. Have you ever done that? If you haven't, man, do it today. I mean, do it right now. Just go to God and express belief, because the empty tomb proves, demonstrates, you can know that your past is forgiven, that you are good with God, and more importantly, that God is good with you. And so I just invite you today, pray to believe. And I'm telling you, if you do that, we would love to know about that, because we would love to encourage you and walk with you as you take your steps in your journey with Jesus. So if you're interested, two ways that you can let us know. I mean, we got the next steps area. After the service, just go over there. There's people there and just say, hey, a little weird, but I prayed and I just want to tell somebody. We would love to know that. If you want to keep it anonymous, atobible.info in your phone. There's a way you can send us a message. But we would just love to encourage you and help you take some steps in your relationship with Jesus. But again, Easter is good news. Why? It's good news for your past, because the empty tomb demonstrates that you can know. But we're just getting started. I mean, Easter, it's good news for your past, but it's good news for your present, and it's good news for your future as well. So let's talk about the future. Part two of the message today is just about the future. Paul has some incredible things to say. He says, but Christ has indeed been raised. I mean, Paul believes very firmly, and we'll talk about why in a little bit. He believes very firmly Jesus really has come back from the dead. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Now, some of you are going, see, now this is why I struggle to read the Bible. What in the world is he talking about here? The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Let's start with the sleeping part. He's not talking about what's going to happen after Easter dinner with your dad in the recliner. The remote's kind of hanging out of his hand, you know. No, that's not it. For Paul, the idea, when he says those who have fallen asleep, he's talking about followers of Jesus who have died. And it's his way of saying they've fallen asleep. Because for the follower of Jesus, there is definitely this idea that you fall asleep in a sense, and then you wake up in the presence of Jesus. And so Paul likes to use this phrase, fallen asleep. So he's talking about life after death. But then he uses the phrase, the first fruits. Now, what is this? Okay, first fruits. If you've ever had a backyard garden, you know what first fruits are. Let's talk about zucchini. Zucchini, popular thing that people grow in their backyard gardens. And it's one of the first plants that produces. You could have a ripe zucchini in July. And that's the first fruit. That very first zucchini is the first fruit, but it's not the last. There is more to come. That's the idea of first fruits. And with zucchini, you know, there is a lot more to come. Like too many, frankly, to come. There's so many zucchini that pretty soon you're starting to, I mean, you're giving them away to friends, neighbors. I mean, here you are at a stoplight. You're rolling down the window. And you're like, zucchini, I don't know you, but I got zucchini. You're online. I mean, you're looking up recipes for the thousands of zucchini that you have. Zucchini bread. Zucchini brownies, zucchini fritters. Nobody even knows what that is. And none of this is good because it's zucchini. I'm sorry, I took that too far. Apologies to all the zucchini lovers, but you get the idea. First fruits, that very first one in July, that's the first, but it's certainly not the last. There is more to come. So Paul, he's talking about Jesus. Specifically, the resurrection of Jesus is a first fruits. He's not talking about zucchini, he's talking about resurrection. But what exactly does he have in mind here? Well, in his own words, so in Christ, all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. See, the key phrase there is when he comes. Paul is not talking about life after death, as in you die and you wake up in the presence of Jesus. He's talking about what will happen when Jesus returns to this earth and there's a resurrection. I mean, this is going to sound a little crazy, and see if you can follow my wording here, but he's talking about life after death. When Jesus returns to this planet, something incredible is going to happen regarding resurrection. And what is it? Well, in the words of Paul, listen, I tell you a mystery. See, this is where it gets good. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. Oh man, I love this. What Paul is describing is that day in the future when Jesus returns to this planet, everyone who has died in Christ, their bodies will be raised, and each believer will receive a new body, a better body. Paul says, perishable for imperishable. What is perishable? Something that can decay. Your new body will be incapable of decay because it's imperishable. Mortal for immortality, the new body for the follower of Jesus. What does mortal mean? It means it will die, but the new body will be incapable of dying. You see, the good news about Easter, it's good news for your future because Jesus' resurrection is the first fruits. It's the first, but there's much more to come, including your resurrection. You will receive a new body that is imperishable, that is immortal. My friends, that is good news. That is good news. It's incredible news. And if you want to see a little bit more of this, if you want to get a clearer glimpse of this, go home, read Revelation, the very end chapters 20, 21, and you get this picture. It's incredible. Where Jesus returns to the earth, and get this, permanently, God sets up shop on earth, heaven crashes into earth, and what you see here is that every believer gets a resurrected body. So together the believers in resurrected bodies, and in a resurrected creation, a resurrected planet Earth with a resurrected Jesus forever. My friends, that is good news. That is incredible news. I'll say it again. Resurrected body in a resurrected creation with a resurrected Jesus forever. That is the good news of Easter. And I think that this has something to say about one of your secret fears. And what is your secret fear? It's that heaven or eternity is going to be boring. Anybody ever worry about this? I brought a cartoon from my childhood. Anybody remember The Far Side? Okay, this is really dating me, but I just remember this from being a kid. If you can't see the caption, it says, I brought a magazine, or wish I'd brought a magazine. And if you're Gen Z, you're like, what's a magazine? It's not super relevant right now. Okay, but you get the idea. You've seen these images of heaven, right? It's like you don't really have a body. You're floating around. There's clouds. You're playing a harp, you know, and forever and ever. And secretly, you would never say it out loud, secretly you're going, well, I don't want to go to hell, but heaven doesn't sound that fun. I'll just be honest, right? That's because your picture of eternity is off. Look at the picture that Paul gives us. Resurrected body and a resurrected planet Earth with a resurrected Jesus forever. That is good news. And I just wonder, how does that hit you today? Where do you need to hear that? Because I know that some of you just need to hear again that your broken body will not last forever. The wheelchair, it's not going to be forever. The chemo, it won't last forever. The fact that your body is literally failing you, this is not going to last forever. In the words of Paul, perishable for imperishable, mortal for immortality. Jesus and his resurrection is the first fruits. First, but it's not the last. Your resurrection is coming. And, you know, I think of a good friend of mine, Eric, who recently lost his dad. And for Eric and his dad, I mean, their thing was music. And so Eric would always be sharing these songs with his dad, great guitar songs. And he's told me about the moments where he really feels the loss. And it's when he hears a great guitar song. And his first thought is, oh, I got to send this to dad. And then it hits him. I can't. He's gone. But Eric's dad was a follower of Jesus. And so there is a day coming when Jesus will return to this planet, and Eric's dad is going to get a new body. Perishable for imperishable, mortal for immortality. My friends, Easter is good news, not just for your past, but for your future. It's incredible news. And yeah, I know that some of you are just going, look, I love that. It's so exciting. But what I need is not good news for the future. I need good news for right now. I need good news for what I'm going through in my life in this moment. Well, let's talk about it. Because Easter truly is good news for your present as well. Now, to talk about this, I want to take you back to when Paul was giving that list. He says, here's some people you can go talk to. You got Cephas or Peter. You got the disciples. You got the 500 others that Jesus appeared to. And then Paul lists one more person. He says, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born, which is just a weird thing to say. But Paul is describing, look, Jesus appeared to me as well. And when he says abnormally born, I think what he's saying is that the way that God brought Paul into his family was just very unusual. And why that is, Paul actually tells us. He says, for I am the least of the apostles, and I do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. You see, while everybody else on the list, they were a follower of Jesus, they were all in on Jesus before his death and before his resurrection, not Paul. Paul was a very different person back then. In fact, he went by a different name. He went by the name Saul of Tarsus. And the thing about Saul of Tarsus is that he hated Jesus. And he hated the followers of Jesus. And he made it his mission to destroy the whole thing. He had believers beaten up. He had them thrown into prison. Saul of Tarsus was responsible for the death of Jesus' followers. And yet, the resurrected Jesus appears to him. You can read about this in Acts chapter 9 if you want. It's an incredible story. The resurrected Jesus appears to Paul. He forgives him of his entire past and invites him to follow him. In fact, he will use Paul in some incredible ways. And the way that Paul describes this, speaking of verses that you should memorize, check this out. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. Paul uses one of his favorite words. It's the word grace, and it's a word that means unmerited favor. It's a way of saying, here's a gift that you do not deserve, and Paul just goes, yeah, that was me. I did not deserve. I am the least deserving of the apostles, but it's grace. God gave him his grace. And I love the last little bit of that verse where he says, and his grace to me was not without effect. And this is what I really want to stick with you. His grace to me was not without effect. In other words, it impacted Paul. It affected Paul. It changed Paul. And see, that's what the grace of God is meant to do in a person's life. And what does this have to do with Easter? Here it is. Easter is good news because Easter means power. And by that I mean resurrection power. You see, what happened when Jesus offered his forgiveness to Paul and Paul embraced it, Paul expressed his belief and he began to follow, something happened. And it's the power, the kind of power that can raise a man from death to life, entered into Paul. Resurrection power was unleashed in his heart, unleashed in his life, and it absolutely transformed Paul. He became a totally different person. And what I want to say to you today is that's not just for Paul. That's for you and that's for me. That when you put your trust in Jesus, resurrection power is unleashed in your life, unleashed in your heart, and it is meant to change you. It is meant to transform you. And this is incredibly good news. There is a different kind of hope that's being offered here, and that hope is this: you can change. You can be different. You can become healthy. You can grow. You can thrive. Your life can be transformed. It happened to Paul, and frankly, he was the worst. I mean, he was killing Christians. If it can happen to him, it can happen to you. And this idea of transformation, and as I look around this room here at the Cascade campus, and I think about those of you sitting in our different spaces that are all of our different campuses, I just look out and I see the stories. And I personally know some of them. Stories of transformation. I'm talking about marriages that were falling apart that have been restored. I mean, I'm talking about lives that were crashing that have been rebuilt. I think of a good friend of mine who for decades was just locked up in anxiety. Decades was locked up in addiction. And about a year ago, I mean, everything started falling apart. He was losing his career. He was losing his marriage. He was losing his relationship with his kids. I mean, everything was falling apart. But you fast forward now to today, and the impossible has happened. I mean, he's healthy. He's sober. His marriage and his family, they're thriving. And it's like, what happened? Because it is shocking. What happened? I'll tell you. Resurrection power. This friend of mine, he put his trust in Jesus and he started opening himself up to this power, powerful work of God in his life. He started fully engaging in the life of our church and he is being transformed. And so I just got to ask you, are you stuck? I mean, maybe you call it a bad habit. Maybe you call it an addiction. Paul, in his language, he calls it slavery to sin. But it's all the same thing. Are you stuck? And I just want to tell you, Easter means hope. Easter is good news because it is possible for you. Resurrection power can be unleashed in your life. And so I would just, man, I would challenge you. Take a step toward Jesus. Get involved in our church. I mean, this is what we are about, following Jesus and being transformed together. I mean, take a step toward our church. Let me just give you a very practical thing that you can do if that's the space that you're in. Next weekend, starting a new series. It's called You Asked For It. I'm going to answer a bunch of questions that you all submitted, some of which are very difficult, by the way. But next weekend, the question we're going to tackle is this: why can't I break free from sin? Why can't I? And we're going to talk about how it is that we can access that resurrection power that God is offering us. And so if you're stuck, if you're addicted, you're invited. We'd love to have you. Because you know what? That's part of all of our stories. And it could be a story of transformation. So let's wrap this thing up where we started. Why is Easter good news? I mean, why is it good news? It is good news for you. It is good news. It is amazing news. It is the best news because Easter is good news for your past, your present, and your future. For your past, because the empty tomb demonstrates that your past can be forgiven. For your present, because the resurrection means resurrection power has been unleashed in your heart and in this world. And for your future, because the resurrection of Jesus is the first fruits. It's first, but it's not the last, and yours is coming. And so Easter is incredibly good news. So here's how I want to end the service. I want to end with a little more worship. just to give us an opportunity to respond to what God has done. And as we sing, I want you to sing to God as if he has absolutely changed your past, your present, and your future, because guess what? He has. He has. And so I want to pray for us, lead us in prayer. Let me invite you to stand up, and our worship teams will come out here in all of our environments and lead us one more time. So Heavenly Father, we just pause right now, and we just recognize that this weekend, we are celebrating Good Friday and Easter. God, this is the weekend where you took back your creation. God, this was the weekend that you unleashed hope into the world. This was the weekend that you brought so many of us from death to life. And God, we are so grateful. And so now we turn our hearts, we turn our voices to you in worship. And we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.